I was pressed to ask our sister Peggy to release what's in her heart tonight. So we're going to let you do your thing, young lady.
Well, it's going to be God's thing, because...
Good. We don't want yours, we want his.
There's a whole lot that...
Oh, you did?
I was just enjoying the music.
I did. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, it was just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Dr. Jesus came to the rescue tonight.
A little shake-up tonight.
Huh?
A little shake-up
tonight. Cool. Thank you.
It was fun.
It's hard to believe, though, 30 years ago, it would have been shut down and thrown away for having demons in it.
Oh, yeah. This was loaded with all kinds of stuff. We got thrown out of the church for doing much less.
I got thrown out of the church just for asking a question.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's why you're here. Okay, young lady. Let's just release a blessing upon her first. Father, we just ask for your grace to just pour through Peggy what you have already poured out. And now, Father, let it bless many for the glory of our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen. Well, I first want to say how thrilled I am to have to follow Gail. And I say this in love, but you have such an awesome gift of teaching that, you know, it could be intimidating, but it's not, because I love you, and I know that that's the gifting that God has given you. And, of course, this morning, after you had mentioned it to me, I was all through worship. It's, you know, all the thoughts go through your mind.
Yeah.
You know, this one has that one has this, what do I have, you know, that sort of thing. And the Lord said to me that all I had to do was be. So I just had to be myself. And most of you, I think, know me. So there's a bit of a comfort zone there, but speaking is not in my comfort zone. But, you know, I'm trusting in the Lord. One of the words that I've been hearing from him, because, of course, he had already forewarned me that this was going to occur. So I knew. And the word he was giving me was trust, which has come up already in the past few weeks. And the other was Oswald Chambers. So I wasn't quite sure how that was supposed to fit into the picture. So I guess the logical thing that occurred to me was to look up trust in the back and then find a trust in here. So I will read that, because that is something that he said to me. So I want to be obedient to that. Lord, we'll just start there. There were several pages. Are you all familiar with this book? My Utmost for His Highest? No?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, I think
will.
It has a page for the day type of thing. And it gives you a scripture. And then, you know, it's like an explanation. So, the one I was drawn to was this one. It's called The Theology of Rest.
What's the date?
August 12th.
Okay.
Hallelujah. My anniversary.
Praise God.
Now, the scripture is, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And it's Matthew 8:26. And this is what he says about it. "When we are in fear, we can do nothing less than pray to God. But our Lord has a right to expect that those whose name, his name, that those who name his name should have an understanding confidence in him. God God expects his children to be so confident in him that in any crisis they are the reliable ones. Our trust is in God up to a certain point. Then we go back to the elementary panic prayers of those who do not know God. We get to our wit's end, showing that we have not the slightest confidence in him and his government of the world. He seems to be asleep, and we see nothing but breakers ahead. O ye of little faith, what a pang must have shot through the disciples. Missed it again. And what a pang will go through us when we suddenly realize that we might have produced downright joy in the heart of Jesus by remaining absolutely confident in him, no matter what was ahead. There are stages in life when there is no storm, no crisis, when we do our human best. It is when a crisis arises that we instantly reveal upon whom we rely. If we have been learning to worship God and to trust him, the crisis will reveal that we will go to the breaking point and not break in our confidence in him. We've been, the rest I don't think really applies, but when I read this, it was like, yes, Lord, I get what you're saying. I've been through crises in which I thought that I trusted God. One was when we were selling our house at East Long Meadow and moving to Thorndike. That was a real leap of faith. And I believed all the way along that that was God, you know. But it was taking a very long time for our house to be sold. So there was a trust issue there. And there were times when I really had not a lot of trust in God. I was slamming my fist several times, you know. Why, God? Why? You know, oh, my God. So I think the Lord realized that perhaps I hadn't learned fully to trust in him. So the next major crisis that I was fortunate enough to deal with was, as you all know, and I'm sorry to have to repeat this again, but my job situation, where I was. I guess for me, just totally relying on him was the major thing that I needed to learn. And it was one thing that Gail had said to me, because I was at my wit's end. That's how I felt inside, that I was at my wit's end. And Gail had said to me, well, there must be something that the Lord is trying to teach you. And, you know, that you are right. You know, and I said, that was like a, you know, that's what I needed, a little slap in the face. Sure, how simple is that, you know, to realize that, yes, there's something I need to learn here. I want to go to Psalm 37, because that is one that I had been led to over my ordeal for 2 years, and the ordeal for me, to give it a little clarity, was dealing with the Jezebel spirit, working next to the Jezebel spirit. That was my ordeal. It wasn't the job per se. It was, I don't know how to put this. I guess it was warring against that spirit was very draining for me. In this psalm, it says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the plants, they will soon die. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I would read that and it was, there was nothing in my heart that wanted harm to come to the person. I would never want that to happen to anyone. But what I was seeing with this spirit was all the wonderful things that were happening to that, to the person. You know, and I mean, it just went on and on and on. And I hate to admit this, but it was really bugging me. You know, it's like, Lord, trying to do what you want me to do, you know, to praying and warring and this and that and coming to church and all that stuff that we think that's what the Lord wants. So I would read this and it was like, I don't know, Lord, I don't get it. I just don't get it. So I finally came to the realization that I needed to get the peace in my heart that I was there, not necessarily for me, but for him. I was there to do his will in all those situations, to do his will amongst the people that I work with and with the person, not the spirit that was operating there. And I believed that I did the very best that I could. And when the Lord found that I was ready and had to leave, and it was his time for me to go, that's when it all happened. And I have such peace in my heart that when I did leave and under the circumstances that I left, that it was his perfect will and his perfect time. Because I've learned that you look for the fruit in the situations. And the fruit has only been the very best since I have left. And the spirit is still there, operating in that person, but it's operating under a little more gentleness right now. And I'm not really sure if it's, you know, Jezebel just changing her stripes, which she does, but I think the people there have been touched by whatever it was that I was there to give them. Their reaction to my leaving was very totally overwhelming to me. And I guess it just confirms... I'm going to cry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You got
No, I just get very emotional sometimes.
Because it's okay.
Okay. I guess it just confirms, it confirmed to me what God said to me this morning. All I have to do is be me.
Yes.
Sometimes that's hard because we don't always think that we are anything.
That's right.
And of course that's the enemy, and I know that. God has really done a work in me, and I'm so much more than that.
Amen.
And I know that. And I guess the tears are just how I'm feeling about the Lord blessing me in this way. the awesomeness of it. And Donna, I know that you're going through some really tough things right now. And I can see you putting your trust more and more in Him. And He is blessing you. That's an awesome thing. And this morning, I was looking at you from the back, and I was thinking how if you really realize how much He loves you. I don't think we've realized that, because when we're in the crisis, we think, well, this is a punishment or something, you know. But it's really because He loves us so much that He does allows these things to occur in our lives. And if you think about Jesus and what His Son had to go through, it's minuscule to what befalls us in our life, you know. I'm in a situation right now where I am trusting God, this total trust. There is no question in it. And that's with my husband. I would have liked nothing better than for him to be here tonight. But something happened when we were having supper that really knocked me. And I almost, it was like, whoa, God. I had a vision of the steak, the pieces of steak. And there was a piece that had been chewed but taken out.
Right.
And it happens sometimes when you get a little grisly part.
Right.
Well, I had made steak for him for supper tonight. And I looked down, and there apparently was a piece of gristle in there. And it was there.
In the plate.
And it was like, okay, Lord. He is not in the same place that I'm in right now.
Amen.
And there's certain aspects of this feast and the whole concept of it that he's just not in the grass right now.
It's too heavy.
So it's, okay, Lord, I trust that, you know, this is the situation, and you're going to make it. You're going to do what needs to be done in him. It's not me, you know. And his choice of what he's doing tonight has been an ongoing situation since around the beginning of the year. And I had gotten words from the Lord through you, and it was, this is not the same thing. This is not happening again. So I spoke to him. We talked, because that's what you do when you're married. You discuss. You know, you bring up what's going on in your life, and if something is bothering you, then you talk it out. And we did that, but nothing changed. So I said to the Lord, because you have friends in your life who mean well, but what they say is you should do this and you should do that. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And so he said to me one morning, the Lord, he said, I am the one who will convict Bob. Not convict him, but... Well, maybe that is the word.
It is. It's conviction.
You know, maybe I'm not all right and he's all wrong. That's a very good possibility. And that's okay, too. So I am trusting that God is in total control of that situation. And I'm just leaving it with him. So I guess from all of that, I'm just trying to say that through the major crisis of my last crisis, the major things I went through with my last crisis have helped me in this situation.
Amen.
And I don't know how else to end it but to say that I'm just putting my total trust in Him, as I did for tonight. I sat down, I said, Lord, what do you want? He said, just trust me. So I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I don't know if anybody has anything to add to that, about their trust issues with the Lord.
Can I ask a question in that, in your book, mm-hmm. Matthew 8:28? It said, go to the breaking point. But what? I didn't catch the last part.
Okay. If we have been learning to worship God and to trust Him, the crisis will reveal that we will go to the breaking point and not break in our confidence in Him.
Thank you.
How do we break our confidence in some? Obviously, our God, our friends, our wives, husbands, children, etc. How do we get to that breaking point?
I think God engineers circumstances. So I'm certainly in those right now. I'm noticing that the control, I have no option but to give up control. There is no choice in the place that I'm at. And I'm finding that difficult because of what's going on. And the Lord is making it very clear. He thought of me. So only to the point where He allows what? He allows, period. But it's for me, because of those control issues that have been in my soul, there are times when I feel like I'm on screen. Because those control.
How many can relate to what she's talking about? Okay.
I'm on a screen because I can see it. Lord, I can see what's going to be done here. Yeah, and you'd like to hear when I ring a couple of necks,
Just a couple?
No. So that for me is a real breaking point. And that's really what I'm going through. You know, Dara's taken Naomi to Boston Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I had it in my head, I was going. Nope. You're not going. Okay. You know, and that's another trust issue. And no control whatsoever. I have no say in that matter. And I can feel again that more breaking of that tendency in my soul. And the Lord showed me, oh my goodness, you know, quite a while ago. I bet it's a year, year and a half. That controlling means I want to meet my needs by controlling.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I do it, is to get my needs met. And when I saw that, it was a revelation that helped me through it, because it's my needs. So something in there, obviously, is I'm trying to get my needs back, and God, that is clearly not allowing that. So I can relate totally to these issues and God engineers for a circumstance. There's nothing you can do but just trust. Let the control go, and it looks like right now the whole thing looks like a bunch of shit. Bluntly, what's going on in my family?
It's called manure.
But it's not like it's
a little bit of manure goes a long way for growth.
A lot of manure in this
one.
That's right.
Yeah.
The trust is
makes the trees grow.
Definitely been, Lori's been working in that with me too, in circumstances. And I noticed that when I can, I'm doing better, much better. But I notice in that trust that I don't get all stirred up and angry because I'm just, because it's not there. Because you're trusting him and you're focused mm-hmm. this way. So all those other emotions are put aside, they're gone. You know, I mean, you can take them right back. If you let go of that trust from the Lord and everything. But I find a peace in all of it, and I also notice that when I'm at peace, the Holy Spirit will guide me on what to do, how to pray, or what to say, and you know what I'm saying? Because I'm at peace, and I'm waiting, and I'm trusting the Lord, so. He's showing me what to do, when to do it. So, and timing, I think, is very important on moving. And he's showing me that timing and when to move and to wait and to listen. So, it's very discipline. I've never been that disciplined person. So, I was raised with two alcoholic parents, so there was no discipline in the house. You know, but he's teaching me that now, which is growth, maturing.
I
think that's good.
You asked about what brings us to the breaking point.
Yes.
I think for me, what brought me to the breaking point was the fact that it felt as if God wasn't listening to my moaning and groaning and crying and screaming and kicking and all of that stuff that my soul was doing. I think that for me was my breaking point.
Okay.
And I think that Gail's words to me, those four or five words that you just casually said, was like the slap that I needed to now focus where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is not about you. This is about what God wants.
Yeah.
You know?
I can remember being very much aware of mistakes that were being made around me several years back. And I could see the mistakes. I was aware. I had the wisdom of God, and my own natural wisdom was confirming this is heading way in the wrong direction. So obviously, with a very good motive, went forward to try to help. Anybody related to Mr. and Mrs. Fix-It? And the more I tried to help, the worse it was getting. And, of course, I said to the Lord, why aren't you do something? Why don't you do something here? And that's when, you know, he asked me, well, do you trust me? And out of my mouth, it just, blah, blah, blah. No, I don't. And that was a real wake-up call. I thought I did. You know, you can think something, but in the reality of your heart. And so he told me to choose to trust. And I've shared that with you guys before. And so there are times when your emotions are worn to the edge. You are frazzled. You're disintegrating, if you wish. And you're just seemingly falling apart emotionally, and you're saying, I thought I trusted. Well, I guess I don't. Well, admit it. And the minute you admit, then he can step in and do something. And then when you make the choice to trust, he begins to show you through little things, and it has to be little. Because if he started with something big, I hate to say it, but you probably wouldn't learn a thing. Am I making any sense?
Mm-hmm.
So as those little things began to, let's say, manifest, and I would be aware, oh my God, he is doing. But my unbelief was just like being dealt with, and I didn't even know I had any such thing. I thought I was a pretty good believer. So much for what you think about who you are. And then when he decides to let you see that he can do such a great work, a few months down the road, in that particular instance, I was up in Vermont, and Pastor Lonnie and I are sitting on his deck. And he says, Kim, are you aware that you just need to just let things fall? Well, not in my book. You know, no, I don't want to let things fall. I mean, there's people that are going to get hurt. You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, the sheep are going to get slaughtered. You know, this is not good. And the Lord says, and who is the great shepherd? So guess what? This little shepherd had to put his ideas aside of what needed to be done and how they should be done and let go and let it fall. And that's the hardest thing to watch, is to let somebody that you love fall and bust their rear ends or whatever that they're going to break. And let it happen. And the Holy Spirit kind of reminded me after it did fall, you know, now what do? Well, you call so-and-so. You get this one to help. You get that one to help. And he gave me directions. But I wanted them 6 months before. You get where I'm coming from? So it was the me that was the problem. And now I at least have a little more confidence in his abilities to fix people. And one of them came when Brother Bob had his major arrest, I called it. And the Lord just literally took him out of the doctor's job and put him onto a shelf. And it was a horrible experience to watch. And I love this kid. You know, and I call him a kid because at that time he was a Holy Ghost kid. And the watching of his restoration and God, you know, rebuilding him was just a marvelous, marvelous thing to watch. And I can remember Chuck being in that hospital room and Linda on the phone. You know, when he had that massive swelling stuff that went on in his body. And I mean, I'll never forget that as long as I live. But that was another level. The Lord said, get out of here now. Now, he knew how much I could trust for a healing. But he also knew that I think if I would have kept my eyes on the problem and the patient, that I would not have had the faith to believe that God was going to do. And, of course, the next morning, she calls me and she says, Kim, he's in surgery. And I said, and my unbelief was still there. I confess it. My unbelief was still there. But God had done. So there are times that God's going to tell you, step out of the picture. Step out of the problem. You know, get a different perspective by walking away. Even from family members that are falling apart, let them fall. Amen. Can we make a decision to let them fall? Because that's what it is. It's a quality decision to let them fall. And the Holy Ghost has got angels available to pick them up. Even when they crash. Big time.
If you keep putting the pillow underneath them, then it doesn't work.
No. And you know, if they need to fall for the Lord to be able to pick them back up, what are we actually doing? We become an obstruction. And we're not even aware that we're doing it. It's a good lesson.
I used to tell the Lord, this house isn't mine, it's yours. I've given you the car, the house, and the people belong to you, Lord. Then he started sending everybody to my house. And so now they're telling me what to do with my house.
Uh-oh.
It's my house. You don't tell me what to do in the work.
Funny.
That was a wake up call.
So you learned that you gave it to him. It's not yours anymore.
Yeah, it's not mine. One of the hardest things too, because I've got the Mastiffs and the Great Danes, and they go in the backyard. Well, there's no lawn left because they go. Yeah. Get forth, and right. It's like the dust bowl. Everything is dust and fur. I can't open the back window even because of the dust. But worse than that, it's like the city sewer because when they go, it's my son's supposed to pick it up every day. Well,
doesn't do it every day. And so that's something the Lord has to work on me for, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I have to keep giving it to him.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's his house.
Good. At some point, he'll trust you with it again.
Oh, I know. Can I bring someone else in? Yeah.
Those are the ways of the Holy Spirit.
Like you say, all the little things that you, the good things that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been there.
Yeah.
Or that you're not seeing the baby.
Yeah.
That you do it.
Great.
When you see eyes through a baby again.
Yes.
So wonderful.
Mine gave a lesson. My 2.5-year-old. She went to her grandmother's, and that's Tracy's mom. And Tracy's mom is kind of a special lady. And so Gabby told her about Jesus, and so she called my wife to say that she had received her first spiritual lesson from Gabriella. And this was the lesson. My wife called her back and she says, well, what did you learn? Well, she says, I found out that Jesus didn't have any clothes on, and she saw his belly button. And she says, and what did you do? Well, she went to the Catholic Church, and there's a huge picture of the Lord. Not picture. It's a
sculpture.
A sculpture. And of course, all he's got is a loincloth, and of course his belly button showing. And she says to her grandmother, and his mother told him, go put some clothes on. So, a week and a half later, she's with my wife. And, of course, there's a crucifix behind the door downstairs, you know. And so she says to my wife, it's a storm. She says, and Mary, his mommy, told him, go put some clothes on. So she's already a teacher.
Amen.
2.5.
Amen.
A similar situation. My grandson, we used to go for walks, and there's this church when there's a statue of the Virgin Mary, and a lot of, you know, she's all green from poop and in just the environment. And my grandson's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus. Well, she needs to be washed up. We need to clean her up. I don't know when I get myself into it. I'm like, we're going to pray about that. So we pray a simple prayer. Lord, send someone to wash her.
I love it.
I know.
My son and I used to, at the church, we used to clean the church. And I used to have Courtney, she was just a toddler. And she had one of her grandchildren with her, so, you know, they would be together. And one day we couldn't find Courtney, and she was under Mary's altar. And she said, what are you doing? And I'm trying to see what she looks like from underneath.
That's a lot of wisdom, huh? That calls for a new level of trust. Any other additions? But let's close our eyes. Father, give us the ability to choose to trust you in all the circumstances with our loved ones, those that are going through trials and hardships, different kinds, different ways, and to allow you to reveal yourself to them, those that we work with that can be very controlling or pushy. Holy Spirit, you are the only one that knows how to adjust those circumstances and bring us to the place where we have a real, true confidence of your abilities and that we have chosen to trust you And then the trust begins to form at a greater level. In Jesus' name. Amen.